Open our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 4. I think some folks are still praying, so I'll pause for a moment. But Romans chapter 4. There's a question. There's a word. I love words. God uses words. Amen? In some folks say, well, God uses thoughts. Yes, and he communicates those thoughts with words. And there's a word in this passage. I'm in Romans chapter 4. I'm just going to look at the first 8 verses. And this word appears 8 times in Greek, and don't worry about Greek. I don't get too carried away with that, but it's just interesting. Let me show you some of these. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, it was counted. There's one. In Romans chapter 4, it says, not reckoned. Same word, that's two. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, is counted. Same word, third time. In verse 6, it says, imputeth. That's the fourth time it's in there. In chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, will not impute sin. And then as long as you're in your Bible, you can look at verse 9. It says faith was reckoned. And then it says in verse 10 that then reckoned. And then verse 11 might be imputed. Something important there, huh? If you mention the same word 8 times. The word is used in these sentences to mean the same thing. And the question, the title of the message is, what counts? What counts? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll look at this. Father, we give you all honor and glory to us and making it clear. And I pray that you would just help us tonight. Many of us may understand this concept so well. But it's just encouraging one more time to realize it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy that you've saved us. To realize that by the deeds of the law, there's no flesh justified in your sight. But to realize that faith is counted for righteousness. We get credit for something that we don't have, but that you give us, because the Bible says that we are given the righteousness of Christ just as he took our sin upon him on the cross. So Lord, tonight, just help us to enjoy this few moments that we spend seeing this one more time, remembering it. Perhaps we can use this to teach somebody else. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been going through Romans. In the first chapter, we saw man's fall. The second chapter talks about how God's a righteous judge. The third chapter talks about justification by faith. And now in chapter 4, we get this concept of something counting, something being reckoned. The word impute is an interesting word. It means to give somebody credit for something. When you call the bank and you say, did that deposit get made? They might not use that word, but when they look at their little screen and it says that on a such and such a day, this much money was put into your account, they have imputed that money to you. In other words, you get credit for it. Well, God gave you and I credit for something we didn't have, we didn't do, we couldn't do, we never could have done, but we had to have it or we'd spend eternity in hell. We had to be righteous. And anybody... The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's in chapter 3. We've all gone out of the way. We've gone unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And that includes me, and it includes you, and it includes anybody. Think of the best person you can think of. They are not righteous outside of Christ. So, it's a simple thought, but it's an exciting one. So, I thought I would dig into some of the details in the passage and just get some excitement out of that part of it. And you'll get some excitement out of this, too. In verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, that's an important phrase right there, hath found. Okay. Now, why Abraham? Why did Paul choose Abraham? And why did Paul call Abraham our father? And then don't miss those words, as pertaining to the flesh. He's talking here to a Jewish audience. Because when you talk to the folks in his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that Jewish audience, they were so convinced that they were going to keep the law and that was how they were going to be justified. So he's aiming this at them. But it is true in a sense that we are Abraham's children, aren't we? What's that? Do y'all sing that song in Sunday school, Father Abraham? Oh, that song. You got to jump up and down. You got to turn around. And by the time I'm finished with that song, I need to go take a nap. And the kids love it. They love that song. Father Abraham had many sons. You know the song. And so anyway, Father Abraham is doctrinally correct because spiritually we are descended from him. And also, well, let me explain it this way. You were adopted into God's family. The Bible says that we are, I'm trying to think of the phraseology, but I'll just paraphrase it, that we're brothers and sisters of Christ by adoption. And we share the inheritance. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a descendant of Abraham. So we have a spiritual link there. But the Bible uses Abraham a lot. In James 2:21, it calls Abraham our father. In Romans 4:16, it says Abraham is the father of us all. And the Bible uses Abraham over and over and over again. Why Abraham? Well, let's go back in your mind to the very first part of the Bible in Genesis. And you think of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Seth. And Adam is a good guy of sorts, but not necessarily what we would call a hero of the faith. But then as you move forward in time, you come to Noah. He's next, right? We think about Noah. He's a hero of the faith. But then the next one you come across is Abraham. There might be somebody in between there that I'm leaving out. But Abraham, he was way back there. And I won't ask you to turn to it, but in Genesis 15:6, the Bible says he believed, listen to this phrase, in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James 2:23, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Did you see that? Counted in verse 6 of Genesis 15, accounted, Galatians 3:6, imputed, James 2:23. That's our very same word. Getting credit for something. How was Abraham saved? If anybody says to you he kept the law, there's a problem. There was no law. The law came by Moses. Now, there's a law written in our hearts. I understand that. But there was not a Levitical law that Abraham could follow. And here's what's interesting to me. The Jews themselves used the first five books of the Bible. They called it the law. You've heard the phrase the Torah. The fancy theological term we use is the Pentateuch. It's the first five books of the Bible. We believe Moses recorded them. God had to tell him what to say because he wasn't there on those first 6 days of creation. And so Moses got, by the inspiration, he got those. And the Jews themselves could read, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was in the Bible. He's the first. He's the example. He's the prime example there. If it's good enough for Abraham, it's good enough for the Jews, is what most folks would have said, ought to have said. By the way, if it's good enough for Abraham, it's good enough for us. Amen? So Abraham, he is a man that's an example again and again. He's the first example of this principle in the Bible. Now, just so you know, the word justified is a legal term, and it means to be declared righteous. It's sort of like if, I can't think of a good example in court, because if a judge found you guilty, he'd find you guilty and he'd punish you. And the judge can't just say you're not guilty if you are. If he does, he's wrong. But God can take our sin and place it on Christ and place his righteousness on us and say, now we're righteous. So he had to take our sin away. That's important. He had to take our sin away before he could declare us to be righteous. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We'll see that in Romans later on. Hebrews says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, but our sins have been remitted. So we have been given, imputed, we have been reckoned to be righteous, given the righteousness of Christ. The word reckon, as I mentioned already, is to be given credit for something, to assign something to somebody's account. So let's just talk about Abraham here for the next 10 or 15 minutes and ask our question, what did he find out? What did Abraham find out? Because he says there in verse 1, Abraham found something. What did he find? Well, look at verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. I won't take you there, but Ephesians 2:8 has the very same concept. Who gets all the glory for your salvation? Well, what if you said, well, Pastor, I'm a pretty good guy, and I've worked hard to get into heaven, And that's how I'm going to get into heaven, is because I've worked really hard. Then who gets the glory? Me, right? I mean, if I believe that. Well, Pastor, the reason I'm going to get to go to heaven is because I decided to get baptized. You'll see this in Ephesians more clearly, perhaps, but I won't take the time in chapter 2. But basically, any plan of salvation that doesn't give God all the glory is not a plan of salvation. It's a hoax. It's a fake. It's a fault. It's a counterfeit. God gets the glory for our salvation. He says, if Abraham, it's right here, it's just plain as day. He says, if Abraham was justified by works, then he's the one that gets the glory. Any plan of salvation that is valid, and there's only one, by the way, gives God all the glory. When you got saved, it was not because of anything that you could do, that you deserved, that you earned, or that you bought, or whatever. It was because Christ saved you, and you did not deserve to be saved. A God that is that merciful and gracious is a God that I want to serve. Amen? He's a God that deserves our loyalty because of what he did for us. He deserves, in fact, he bought us with a price, but it shouldn't be an obligation to serve him. It should be an honor to serve him. Amen? We often say that in school, and when we work in school, we work hard. And I honestly teach class, one class a day. And when I finish, I'm a little worn out. Some of these folks teach all day long. And when you're teaching, you're constantly exerting your energy to try to reach those students. You're watching them. You're seeing which one's not paying attention. And, hey, stop scribbling over here. And let me ask you a question, because I can tell you don't have your... I'll ask them to read the Bible, and they never know who I'm going to ask next. So they got to have their Bible in the right place and be watching along so I can call on them to read. And you're exerting yourself. You're putting your work into it. And then we say in prayer in the morning quite often, it's an honor to serve God. Do you believe it's an honor? Amen? If, I won't use the president, but let's just say some really important person, you can think of somebody that you want to think of, called you and said, hey, would you come help me? I'd be honored. You know, that's the way we should look at it. We can't spend all our time on this one point, but Abraham found that. He said, he knew, that he found out that you can't, that what it does is it's got to glorify God, okay? There's a second thing that he found. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him unto him for righteousness. Now, this is redundant because I've made the point already, but my second thought would be this. What did Abraham find? He found out that faith is what counts. Faith is what counts. It's what counts to get you saved. It's what counts when you pray. Amen? Pray believing, and then you'll receive. I have to stop and think about that to this day. Every time I think about that, I think about Brother Leo Jacobs, because I taught a series on what keeps prayer from being answered and what makes prayer or causes prayer to be answered. And Brother Leo really enjoyed that, and he kept bringing it back up because he'd come back here and pray with us. And he'd remind us, we got to expect visitors today because we're praying for them. Amen? I guess we learn slowly. I know I do. But I need to remind myself over and over and over. Why am I worried? Why do we spend so much of our life wondering what's going to happen, thinking about this and worrying about that? And maybe you got there. Maybe you've arrived and don't have that problem, but some people do. But folks, don't we trust the Lord? He's our God. And he loves us. And he sent his son to die for us. And he promised to answer our prayers. And he promised that he'd never leave us or forsake us. And all those are in the Bible and many more. And sometimes I wonder if I have enough money to pay this bill. Shame on me. If you're faithful to God with your money, he's faithful to you with what you need. It comes back to faith counts, folks. Faith counts. Do you have faith? I like that fella that prayed. He said, Lord Jesus, he said, increase my faith. And that's not the same as praying for patience, Mrs. Dahlman. But we need God to increase our faith. But hasn't he increased your faith? Have you seen him answer a prayer? Seen him meet a need? Seen him get you through something? Right now, we have some serious things to pray about. Mrs. Spencer, Lynette Cavanaugh, Mrs. Terrell, and others in serious situations. And you know, as God meets those needs and answers those prayers, we'll come back and we'll say, isn't he a good God? And our faith grows a little bit more. Abraham found out faith is what counts. What made him that way, I cannot say. I just know the Bible says in verse 3, Abraham believed God, and that's what counted. And that because of that, he was considered righteous. Third thing Abraham found out, works don't count. Now you say, oh good, I haven't got to work. Well, shouldn't have used the word gotta. No, you don't have to work. If you've received Christ as your Savior, you don't have to work. But when you get to heaven, you'll sure be glad you did. Amen? The Bible says he's going to reward us for our works. You say, Pastor, I haven't got many rewards. I got good news for you. It's not too late to start. Oh, I got real good news for you. On the 11th hour, one fellow went to work. And he got paid the same thing the folks that worked all day got paid. It's not too late to be rewarded. Amen? Works don't count as far as salvation is concerned. In fact, he makes it very clear in verse 4. I quote these verses all the time. And if you don't know why, I learned these verses as an Awana club worker because these were the club verses for the 5th and 6th grade boys in Awana back in 85 probably. So 40 years ago, 35 years ago. We had to learn these verses, and they're really handy verses in Utah because it helps us to teach the Mormons a couple of things they need to know. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. Someone says, I'm going to get saved by works. You're digging yourself in deeper. Because every work you trust in takes away from Christ. That work instead of Christ. That work instead of Christ. That work instead of Christ. Works get you debt. But in verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We talked about the last half of that already. But the person that doesn't work to be saved is the one that gets saved. Some of you, 90% of you have heard this story, but it's for effect, I'll tell you anyway, you've heard it. And I was going door to door in Libby, Montana, with a young man named Aaron Venneri. And he and I were looking for VBS children. Knocked on a house. I can still see it. It was a log cabin, kind of not well kept, and weeds and stuff in the yard and not landscaped, but it was a log cabin, pretty good size house. A lady came out, and she was a Mormon, and I quoted some things to her and talked to her, and she said, the trouble with you is you quote these verses, and then you tell me what they mean, but you're misinterpreting them. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll quote you another verse, and I'll leave, and I will not tell you what it means. You decide for yourself. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Thank you, have a good day. Wait a minute, she said, what does that mean? You know what it means. It means you can't be saved by works. And if you were counting on works, that might disappoint you. It shouldn't disappoint you because you should be wise enough to realize I couldn't work good enough to get to heaven anyway. And then it should excite you because I can be saved by believing in Christ instead of my own pride and my own glory. And that's the problem is folks that believe in their own works are proud and they trust in themselves. So then he goes on. He mentions the second one here. He says, David also. Now, again, who's he talking to? He's talking to a Jewish mindset here in the beginning of chapter 4. Those folks think Abraham is as good as it gets and David's right there with him. He says, let's talk about what David had to say. David described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And that's a quote from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. David said, it's a blessing to have your sins covered, to have your iniquities dismissed. And he says, that comes from God without works. So Abraham found out, you're not justified by works. Faith is what counts. Works don't count. So here's seven simple thoughts, and we'll be done on time. If You have believed in him, like Abraham did in Genesis 15 and verse 6. A, you are justified. Verse 2 says Abraham's justified. Secondly, you're counted to be righteous. Verse 3 says it was counted for righteousness. Verse 5, your faith is counted to you for righteousness. Number 4, but you are blessed because God has imputed righteousness without works. Number 5, your iniquities are forgiven. Verse 7. Number 6, your sins are covered. Verse 8. And number 7, the Lord will not impute sin to you. Verse 8. Now, I don't know how anybody could read those verses and come away thinking that they need to work to be saved, except for what we call blindness. And there's a blindness in the world, and there's a blindness that folks need to have their eyes opened. If you could find somebody that really truly believes the Bible and will listen to it, I think the battle is won. Just show them the verses. Amen? But so often we come across folks and they have these ideas. Oh, the Bible was written by men. Oh, the Bible's been translated 10,000 times or some silliness like that. Oh, the Bible's got errors in it. Oh, that's not really God's word. It's just something some men wrote a long time ago. And it'll always come back to, they'll have something about the Bible that they have been blinded to the truth of the Word of God. And we sit here tonight and we read these verses and I say to myself, how can anybody read this and not realize you're saved by faith? It's because I believe the Bible. Somewhere along the way, God opened your eyes and you saw the truth. Amen? And you realized you needed to be saved. Folks, we need to be in prayer that God would show some light to the people living in darkness around us. We need to be in prayer that God would open the eyes of the blind around us, that he would give them sight, give them light, let them see the truth. We have folks and go door to door every week and they show these folks the Word of God and they would be delighted to open the Bible and show them how to get saved. We need to pray for God to prepare the hearts before those folks go. Amen? Because it's so obvious right here. Faith is counted for righteousness. It's real simple. But how can they believe unless they understand it's God speaking to them? And they need to have their eyes opened to the fact that the Bible's the truth. I think if we would pray like that, it's not just a matter of going, but praying like that as well. We'll see some more folks saved. Amen? And just by the way, as I'm done and it's time to stop, on Sunday mornings, when the end of the service comes, you guys that have been going to church for a while, you know when I'm preaching to a lost person. You can tell. Pastor's trying to get somebody to hear the gospel. You can just tell. I'll be more diligent about it on some Sundays than others. I'm always going to give the gospel, but sometimes I'll really, really make an emphasis. When you hear me do that, and you already saved, and so he's not talking to me, that's right, so you can pray. You start praying, Lord, somebody here is lost. I pray they'd get saved. Amen? And it'd be a horrible shame for someone to come to church, hear the gospel, and leave lost. And I just told you a while ago, faith counts. You believe your prayers? You pray in faith? If faith counts, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes. God's not willing any should perish. We'd sure like to see them get saved the next time they hear the gospel. Amen? Pray for our neighborhood. Pray for our country, of course, but our neighborhood, the people around us. And then pray for our church services and the folks here. Lord, open their eyes and let them see it. Because it's so obvious. It's obvious to us, but we're saved and we know this is the Word of God. Pray that the Lord would open their eyes as well. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray if you would, please.